a lot of different things this leading up to Easter. Maybe you saw on Facebook or some other people, because Easter and April Fool's Day, I'm not sure I can ever remember those falling on the same day. Perhaps maybe they have. I didn't really look back, but you see a lot of different things and just different things about Easter and playing off of April Fool's. But there was one thing I was reading this week, and was back a long time ago. There was this greeting that they used, and what they simply said is they would greet each other, and someone would say, "Christ is risen," and they would respond, "He is risen indeed." And so what I want us to do this morning, I don't do this very often, but I want us to try this morning. I want to say, "Christ is risen," let you respond, "He is risen indeed." Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Well, that's not too bad for a first try. Let's try it one more time. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right. The problem with that statement is there are a lot of people that just actually don't believe that particular statement. And so I want us to look at that idea this morning. Just, do you actually believe that? And before we just jump into that this morning, I want us to look at some other things. I pulled some other things from history. I just want us to look at those and just see if maybe you believe these things or maybe you don't. So you can look on the screen here. And the first one is, do you believe that Neil Armstrong actually walked with his feet on the moon July 21st of 1969? Anybody here actually believe that he really and truly walked on the moon? Okay, most of us. Okay, how many of you actually believe that Brian Williams was there reporting him walking on the moon? And if you don't know who that is, you can ask somebody else later. How many of you actually believe Elvis died on August 16, 1977, and he's no longer in the building? Anybody actually believe that? Okay, most of us. There's still a few Elvis Lives people. Benjamin Franklin, that he discovered electricity in June of 1752. Now, I can look here. I can see that there's electricity. I'm going to assume and give him credit for that. I'm not sure that I realized it was that long ago, and I was kind of reminded of that date. And so there's some things maybe we believe and some things that are legend, that other things like Elvis being alive or different things. You know, and I don't know why that you're here today. Maybe there was someone that was just been asking you to come, and maybe you came with a friend. Maybe you're here with family. Maybe there's just all these different things that maybe play together. But all across the church is gathering today, all across the world, not just Texas, not just Waxahachie, not just Ellis County, but all across the world for one reason today. And the reason is just very simply to celebrate the day that Jesus rose from the dead. You see, just a few days earlier, he would have been crucified on the cross. He had been laid in a tomb. His disciples would have just been not really sure exactly what was going on. But we're really here to celebrate the risen Savior. We're not here because to celebrate that the fact that winter is almost over and that spring flowers are coming out, even though I'm totally great with those things taking place and I can celebrate those. And we're not here just to celebrate anything else but that he literally raised from the dead. So I'm just going to ask you this morning several different times through this sermon this morning is, do you really believe this? Because I really believe there's a lot at stake if whether we actually believe this or not. If the resurrection is true, if it really happened and it's all true, then we have a reason for hope. And we have a reason and purpose for our life. We have a reason to live these transformed lives that we speak about so often. We have a reason when things are just going so terrible and there just doesn't seem like there's any end at the end of the tunnel, that we know that there's always hope because of this particular day. You know, one of the unique aspects of Christianity is that all the other different religions and different world movements, Christianity can be tracked back to one particular event. That everything goes back to this. Without Jesus being raised from the dead, Christianity wouldn't be anything like it is today. And it's kind of odd as I look back and you have four biographies that were kind of written about Jesus, and it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you see how much time they actually spend at the end, the last few days of Jesus' life. You know, if you read another biography, they really don't usually focus on the last week. They focus on all these different things that the person did. You can read about Steve Jobs. You could read about Benjamin. You can read about all these different people. You can read about Neil Armstrong. You could write any of these types of particular things. But the big difference is it focuses on just the last few days of their life. And we think and we spend so much time on this one event. And the amazing thing is there was this remarkable unity among the disciples that were following him that day that they actually did believe this. And I want us to look in Luke chapter 24. And I want us to read just one of the stories here, Luke sharing about what actually took place in verses 1 through 12. It says, "But very early on a Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." The day before, they weren't able to finish doing everything, preparing the body the way they wanted, so the women, they got up early and they headed out and they went to take care of things. They found the stone. When they got there, they found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. So I just get this picture. Here's these ladies. They're going in. They're going in to finish it and to finish just getting the body ready for burial and doing everything there. And they get there, and I can just imagine the puzzledness a little bit of what is taking place. And the stone is rolled away, and then I'm not sure who would have went first. I would imagine there would have been somebody that was just a little bit, "You can go in there first." Kind of, "Yeah, go ahead, Mary. You can go in." And they went in, and they didn't see anyone there. And it says, "Then the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?'" And as they get in, it says the women were terrified. And then there was these guys that began speaking to them. You know what I've been taught most of my life is this: when something terrifying happens, I don't have to be the fastest one to run. I just have to be the slowest person to run. So I'm not sure that I would have stood there long enough to hear much of this conversation. I'm pretty sure I would have tried to outrun some of you. I'm just going to be honest. And I would have headed out of there when someone just spoke to me and scared me the way that they did. And he said, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. And the men just explained, "Hey, wait, don't you remember this? How many times did Jesus actually teach this? How many times did Jesus warn you this day was coming? How many different times did he say, 'I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to raise from the dead, just hang in there, listen to what I'm saying, I didn't come to set up this earthly kingdom,'" and he says all these different things, and it just kind of forgot it. I don't know about you, but I've actually been that way, and I think we all are. Somebody says something, and we actually forget it, and then someone says, "Don't you remember?" You're like, "Oh yeah, I remember that was actually said," and that's where the ladies were at this point. And it goes on, it says, "So they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. They wanted everyone else to know exactly what they had just seen. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened." The most important thing about the names there is maybe we don't know a lot of detail about some of those, but they were eyewitnesses. They were there and they saw what was actually taking place, and they rushed back and they began speaking and telling the disciples and everyone else what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw it was empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. And I read and I think about these, just these particular verses, and I think about Peter here, and as he's just there trying to figure out exactly what's taking place, and he's walking back home, and just the thoughts that are going through their mind and the different things that were going on. And the thing that I want you to realize is this: Jesus' followers, they weren't truly expecting the resurrection. They had been told about it, but you understand that on Easter morning, they weren't all there gathered around the tomb going, 10, 9, 8. That just wasn't taking place. It would have been a great story to write, but they were actually sitting back. They were wondering, what in the world? Why? I was listening to this teacher, and we've been following Jesus for so many years. What is taking place now? This is not the way that I expected it to go. They just weren't looking it for that way. And you skip on down to verse 36. It goes on to say this: and just as they were telling, there's some guys walking along the road, and they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about everything that's going on. It says, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. So they're walking, they're having this conversation about Jesus, and they're going on, and all of a sudden Jesus just appears. I can imagine how much it would be to startle them. And then he's like, it's okay, peace be with you. They were scared because they had seen a ghost. And Jesus goes on and says, why are you frightened, he asked. Why are you, your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do. And I kind of find the last part of this conversation he's having with them just a little bit funny, because I've never had to turn to someone and say, look, I'm not a ghost. Look at me. And he turns to him, and he's saying that, and he says, but wait. He pulls out his hands, and he says, look right here. You can tell that it's me. Look at my feet. This is the proof that it's me. I'm not a ghost. This is really taking place. And then the next verse says, still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. And even standing right there, right then, they just had this disbelief. They had wonder. They were a little bit of excited, but they had this disbelief. They didn't really know what to think for sure what was taking place. And it says, then he asked, do you have anything here to eat? That has to be one of the strangest statements that I can actually possibly think of. Here they are talking about Jesus returning, and Jesus is like, you know, that resurrection, it made me pretty hungry. I needed something to eat. And then as you continue to go on and read right there, it says, they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. So not only is he eating, they're just kind of standing there, staring at him. And I can imagine as he puts the bite in his mouth, and they're just staring him down, and they're standing there. Just what an awkward moment it would have been in that particular time as he is trying to eat. But for thousands of years, people have taken this story and they believe different things about it. And here we see in the same chapter just two different groups of people that hear the story, that are talking about the story. You know, Christians, we have taken this as this historical fact. But some of us, sometimes some people will say, you know what, I just don't know. Maybe they just didn't have the doctors to really know that there are all these different things. And so maybe he just really wasn't dead, or did they actually just make this up? And we have these different questions. But what I want you to understand this morning is me standing right here, or sitting right here at this point, and saying that Jesus is raised from the dead was just as controversial 2,000 years ago as it is today. For them to stand there and say that this actually took place took a lot of courage. It took a lot of guts. There were a lot of things that were going on. It was definitely a controversial statement at that particular time. But something had happened in this particular group of people that had galvanized this into their mind, that they knew without a doubt that Jesus had raised from the dead. And because of this, this first community of believers, Jews, Greeks, slave and free, male and female, and rich and poor, began and formed this community that broke down every barrier that was known at that time. And people came together, and they believed in this common thing from all walks of life. They certainly did not have to sacrifice their money. They did not have to sacrifice their land or their property or their reputation based on just something that they thought might have happened or perhaps this happened. They gave up these things. They jeopardized these things. They jeopardized their lives because they truly believed that it actually took place. And they didn't go to the desk, to their own personal desk, by the thousands and thousands of people over history because of this. I hope this resurrection actually took place. They did it because they knew within their hearts that Jesus rose from the dead. They believed it really happened. And the whole message from the very, very beginning was that the resurrection of Jesus. The whole message was based more than just the teachings of Jesus. It was based on the resurrection of Jesus. And that is why they could not shut up about it. They kept telling people, and they kept telling people, and they kept telling people that he has risen from the dead. And that's what they would write about. And that's what they would speak about. And that's what they would talk about. In Acts chapter 2, verse 32 says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we were all witnesses of this. And we have a whole different writer writing, and he's saying, look, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we all, every one of us, we were witnesses to what actually took place. And I think when we look at that, it's important for us today to ask the question, do we believe this? Do we truly, truly believe that this took place? And why is it so important for us to actually believe it? See, that there was these ramifications of believing that 2,000 years ago that some man named Jesus was crucified on the cross, and then someday, 3 days after being in a tomb, that he raised from the dead. And it has this massive implications in our life. And there's a lot of different things that maybe we struggle with in our life. But if I could just, that maybe even just paralyzes us, that maybe even keeps us from believing the things that we really, that we're talking about today. And maybe for some of you, if we could just pick a few of those that just paralyze us and just keep us from living that life that God created us to be. A lot of us, we're paralyzed by fear. The fear that we're facing in our own life, the things that are going on in our own life right now, keep us from believing. Maybe that we have this fear that our marriages are falling apart. Maybe we have this fear that our children, that as they're growing up, they're just not going to make the right decisions, or they are adult children and they're just not making the decisions that I wish that they would, and we have this fear. Or maybe we just have this fear just about our money and our career and retirement and how all these different things are going to take place, and just this fear just seems to overwhelm us, and that we just have this problem of just believing anything else. Another thing that I think that keeps us paralyzed a lot of times is our guilt from our past. We've made these mistakes in our past, and we just continue to live with this guilt. And we think, you know what, there's nothing that I can do. I made this mistake. I've done this. This has happened to me. When I set out as a young adult, I did never planned on this and this and this to happen in my life. I never thought it would take place. And so we put all this guilt in our life, and it just paralyzes us. And it impacts us in such just an incredible way. And the reason that the resurrection is so important, if in fact that Jesus did walk out of that tomb, it impacts us in some big ways. First of all, we have to realize if we believe that he is risen, there's a hope for our future. We live in this very uncertain world. In fact, there are some things that cause us fear. There's some things that cause us doubt. There's some things that cause us to worry. There's some things that cause us anxiety. There's these problems that we borrow from tomorrow that we're worried about what's going to take place. And they just can seem to consume us and seem to overwhelm us. In the next couple of weeks, we're just going to continue to talk about this idea of being overwhelmed. But sometimes we just need to stop today and just realize that there is hope for our future. And you're inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. We're inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. The focus is not on how can I fear less, but how can I trust God more? Again, if Jesus truly walked out of that tomb, it changes everything. Everything about our future, everything about the past, everything changes. It means that the impossible is now possible. It means that if he can resurrect, if he was raised from the dead, then he can resurrect the dead relationships that are in our life. It means that he can raise the dreams that we feel like are dead in our life. It means that he can resurrect our courage and help us overcome our fears head on. It just gives us all new hope. But again, I just want us to stop and just ask ourselves the question, but do we actually believe this? If you do, Jesus, believe that Jesus can make the impossible possible, if you believe that there is hope for the future when we believe in the resurrection, and if Christ is risen, there's also forgiveness for our past. And maybe some of you, maybe it's been a long time since you've been to church. And maybe for some of us, even though we come to church every single Sunday perhaps, there's just this idea that our past continues to affect us. And that we just can't get past the mistakes that we made, or the blame that people put on us, or the things that someone said. And something from the past just keeps us pushed back and keeps us away from truly living the life that God created us to be. And what we have to realize is if we truly believe in the resurrection, then our past is no longer a problem. Our past is, there is forgiveness in it. And you hear me say over and over again here at the Bridge that it's okay not to be okay. And there's points in our life when we walk in the doors of a church, we're not okay. Something from our past is eating us up. Something from our past is weighting us down. Something from just yesterday's past has just really got me all worked up. But we have this place that we can belong before we truly believe. But I think that some of us, that we can become paralyzed by our guilt of our past, and we're consumed with the fact that we messed up and that we made a mistake. And maybe you messed up so big that you lost your integrity and just no one else really trusts you anymore. Maybe you messed up and you had an abortion. Maybe you messed up and you handled your anger the wrong way and you acted and reacted and said things that you wish you never would have said. Maybe you've been greedy, and maybe you handled your finances poorly, and maybe you cheated on your spouse, or maybe you're just battling a different type of addiction. But there's all these different things in our life that sometimes we reach a point that we just honestly don't think they're forgivable. But that's exactly why Jesus died on the cross. And they are forgivable because 3 days later, he raised from the dead. So many times to deal with our brokenness, we handle it in just a couple different ways. We believe it in this, some people, we handle it in this good enough plan. And so we think that if we're good enough, if I believe that there is a God, and that the fact that we believe there is a God, and the fact that I do believe there's life after death, and I believe that there is a heaven, and if I just do more good than I can do bad, then everything will be okay. But what you find yourself asking all the time is, am I good enough? Did I actually live today doing more good things than I did bad things. And very often, we go through this day that a good enough plan, it just doesn't cut it. Because no matter how hard I've tried a lot of times to be good enough, I've got to the end of the day and thought, man, I lost my temper. Man, this just wasn't a good day. And then sometimes we get into this comparison plan. And in the comparison plan, it's kind of similar. But in this one, we compare ourselves to someone else. And so as long as I'm good with someone else, then everything is okay. And a lot of times what I find in this particular plan, when we think about this, is I've created this list of these big sins. And as long as I haven't done these big sins that are on my list, then I'm okay. And what I find that happens often is I make these lists of these big sins, and you know what I actually put on these lists of big sins? The things that I don't really struggle with. So if I struggle with anger, then that's not going to be on my list. And so I make this list. And as long as I'm good enough and I don't do these handful of things, then I'm okay. But you know what? You know who's done those big ones? John. John has made these big mistakes. And we like to point at a different person. You know, John, he's done these big sins that are on my list. You know what? I'm just can't believe that God isn't just incredibly mad at John. How can he just continue just to put up with John? I'm so surprised that the things that John's done, that God just had him brought just lightning from heaven and just went ahead and struck him down and got him out of the way. And we just like to compare ourselves to everyone else, and we think if I'm better than John, or I'm better than Joe, or I'm better, and we can just name the name, then everything is okay. But the amazing thing about human beings is this: we have this ability of self-deception. And many times we actually think we're a lot better than we actually are. And we begin to deceive ourselves. And we tend to think that we are a lot better. But the Bible doesn't teach that good people go to heaven. It teaches that forgiven people go to heaven. And so it brings us to this grace plan. And this grace plan is, I can't live this perfect life. And as hard as I try today, even on Easter Sunday, I'm probably going to make some mistakes, and I'm going to do some things that I wish I wouldn't have done. But even though I can't do it, and no matter how many days I've been on this earth, Jesus did it. And he did it so that he could go to the cross. And he did it so he could die this death for me and for you, so that we wouldn't have to die. And he paid this debt that I could actually never pay, no matter how much I actually tried. And on the cross, Jesus saved me from me. Because my life can be a mess at times. And my life doesn't go the way that I want on times. And when I think about my own life, I like to think, you know, I'm growing and I continue to get better at things. And I hope if we were talking 5 years from now, I would hope that I would be actually loving people better 5 years from now than I am right now. I would hope in 5 years from now, I want to be this more generous person than I am right now. You know, in 5 years from now, I really want my life to be this less of a mess than it is today. But it's still going to be a mess. And it's still not going to be perfect. And that's exactly why Jesus died on the cross for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Just at the right time. When we were powerless, when our life just seemed at this biggest mess that it could possibly be in, it says God just demonstrates his own love for us, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And what the resurrection means is the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come in our lives and in our future. And so I can't help but to stop and ask the question again. Do you actually believe this? And if we can believe that one thing, and if we can say yes, then it changes everything. It's the most important question that you'll actually ever answer in your whole life. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I look at that scripture and I think about the things that it's actually saying in that simple one verse that we just have to believe. And I look back at the disciples as we were reading there in John. And maybe today you kind of could fit into their category. Because as we were reading there, or in Luke, and we're reading there, and it said there that Peter walked away and said that he was kind of puzzled. He wasn't sure what was taking place. He didn't know what was going on. So what I want you to realize today, if you ask that question and you says, do you believe this? And you're like, I'm really not sure that I do. You're not alone. At first, the disciples, they questioned and they had to step back and they had to think for just a little bit. But as Jesus continued to appear to them, as Jesus showed them his hands and their feet, it just galvanized this belief in them. And that's why we actually celebrate it today. And that's why we meet as churches all across the world today. Because they believed in Christ. And I wonder today, as you just stop and you think about this particular verses and these particular questions, is God just really tugging on your heart toward this unbelievable? Is God just really pulling you and you're thinking, do I truly, truly believe this? So I just want you just to bow your heads for a moment. I don't do this very often, but I just want you to be able to close your eyes and to be able to kind of block out some distractions. I just want you to think just for a moment. But I just want to take this opportunity just one more time just to be able to ask, do you believe this? Do you truly believe that Jesus, he died on the cross? He was put in a tomb. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead.